All right, let's turn once again to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll pick up where we left off last week, and we are started last week, the next piece of armament, which is the shield of faith, and I want us to pick up where we left off last week in dealing with this shield of faith. Now, this, you remember last week I said that this one is not one that you strap on, that you take up, so to speak. It's just, you grab it and you use it, all right? It's not a, it's not something that is designed to fit across your chest or your thighs, or in, it's held in the hand. They normally had two straps on them, and you put your arm through and grabbed a hold of the one strap, and then you were able to move it and manipulate it with the other strap. And so the shield of faith was a necessary part. And I'm sure that when mentioning this, the Apostle Paul was thinking about the Roman soldiers, and all of them had the shield that they carried to protect them in their struggles. So last week we looked at the fact that this wicked one, and that's what we've been talking about. If you look again at verse 11, he said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then he says, "Take unto you," in verse 13, "the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then in verse 16, he says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And we looked at last week at how this wicked one, the devil, it has been glamorized in our world. Hollywood and even the cartoons that are shown on Saturday morning for kids, even there you see a glamorized devil or a glamorized demon. When I was growing up and a kid, I remember sitting in our living room and watching Saturday morning cartoons. When we got our television set, it was a little black and white Zenith television set, and it had remote control. I was the remote control. Get up and turn the channel. That whole thing was Saturday morning cartoons were what you would think a cartoon should be. All right, we had Bugs Bunny, we had Popeye, we had all the funny cartoons, Bugs Bunny, all that stuff. And but now all of a sudden, Saturday morning cartoons are these devilish characters. They're these devil creatures, and they got laser eyes, and it's just making the whole verse 12, everything in verse 12, making a joke out of it. Well, I assure you, folks, that it is not a joke. All right, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's nothing funny about that. That is serious business. But yet, The devil being the devil, he doesn't want any of us to stop and think about how critical this struggle that we are in actually is. He doesn't want us going down that road. So the whole idea and the whole plan is to make light of the wicked one and of Satan, of the devil. And the devil commands and controls a diversity of powers, according to the 12th verse here. He controls all of these fallen angels that he has placed in a hierarchy, and he has complete and full control over them and how they serve him and what they do for him. And so it's not something that is to be taken lightly. It's something that we should realize and understand is happening, and be aware of just how volatile the entire situation is. So all the fallen angels that he uses to keep Christians defeated and discouraged, and keeps Christians from growing in the Lord. He keeps uses all these various and sundry things mentioned in verse 12 to keep the saints of God from reading their Bible, and he knows exactly what he's doing, and so we should not take it lightly that the Bible is very clear that we are in a battle, in a wrestling match, as is used in verse 12, with a very serious foe. Now, follow me for just a moment, and I wanted to emphasize this. I mentioned it last Wednesday night, but I didn't have time to develop it, but I want to develop it before we go any further. If you remember, I made mention of the fact that we believe that God is a three-person, one God. All right? Now, we get that from the Bible. Now, I've had Muslims say to me, you say your God is three, and I say yes, and they say, well, our God is one. Well, your God's not the God of the Bible, for one thing. All right, your God is a false God, and your God is written up in a false book. All right, just that simple, just that plain, and so the whole matter of the Godhead is that it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. All right, they are one, and we believe that this one God is personal. Amen. He's loving. Yes. He is giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes. And we also believe that through our salvation, by putting our faith and trust in Christ, we are able to have a walk of fellowship with God. Through Jesus, we are able to have a walk of fellowship with God. Now, we can fellowship with God anytime we wish to fellowship. We are, through Christ, we are in the family. All right? We are in the family, and we can fellowship with our God as often as we want and as regularly as we want. There's no hindrance for the child of God to have a walk of fellowship with God Almighty. Now, understand this, though. God is not a force or a power. All right? He is not, no, he's a person. There's a difference. Our God is not a force or a power. But now, wait a minute. Neither are these forces that are mentioned in verse 12. These entities that are mentioned in verse 12, they are real. God is real. So are these principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So is this wicked one. He's real. All right? He's not the figment of somebody's imagination. He is a real, created, fallen, evil angel that God has made. And so we need to realize that God is not just a force or a power. God is not just up in heaven in a rocking chair pushing buttons and making everybody do what he wants them to do. No. God is a real being, and he wants fellowship with you and with me. We can talk to him. You don't go out and talk to a tree. I know some folks do, but why? I mean, why? You see somebody out talking to a tree, something's wrong. All right? Something's wrong. You feel sorry for that person. All right? But we don't do that. We don't do that with the trees. A tree is not a person. A tree is not alive and able to communicate back. It cannot send you vibes and tell you how to live or what to do. No. And we need to realize, though, that our God is a person. He's real. And we can fellowship and know him. And now, in the same vein, these principalities and these powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, all of these things are real, personal, created, fallen beings. They were created by God. They are real and true beings with personalities. All right? Now, with that understanding, how else can you explain all of the evil elements in this world today? They have to be the product of something real. And they are. They are. They are the products of Satan and his evil elements throughout this world. How else can you explain Adolf Hitler? All right? How else can you explain that? How could that little maniac, how could that little ugly maniac have so many people fall at his feet and believe every word he said? He's got to have help. He had to have had help, and he did. He did. He had principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And look what happened. What happened? Millions of people have been slaughtered by these evil maniac people who have lived in the last in the last couple of centuries in our world. Not only do you have Hitler with hundreds of thousands of people slaughtered under his reign of terror, but you got Mao over in China. I mean, 20, 30, 40 million people murdered. How does something like that happen? It happens because there is a wicked one, and he's real. And his goal is to drag. Listen, folks, the devil can read. And he's read the back of the book. And he knows what's coming his way. And so he is determined that he is going to take as many people to hell with him as he can. Don't be fooled by his intent. Folks, he knows what he's doing. And so he has manipulated all of these evil men in the past. And what happens when these evil maniacs start doing their thing? What happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens. People die. People die. And it's a shame. It's a shame. You had Lenin in Russia. You had Castro down and Che Guevara down in Cuba. And thousands upon thousands of people executed for not toeing the line. And now you're hearing these people that I've been trying to warn you about in the back of the bulletin, these democratic socialists of America. They're not socialists, they're communists. They are evil-hearted people. And they say, we want to do away with the Constitution. We want to do away with the Senate. We want to do away with this, with the Supreme Court as we know it. They want to pack the Supreme Court. And believe me, they're not going to pack it with conservatives. And they even are going so far as to say, we want to get rid of the office of the presidency. Now, why would they want to do that? Because when they get power, if Americans do not toe the line, they're dead. You say, well, that could never happen here. That's what the people in Germany thought. That's what the people down in Cuba thought. That's what the people over in Russia thought, and China. Well, how else do you explain all these evil-hearted people, these horrible people, and their murderous minds, except to see them sway under the sway of the wiles of the devil and killing because of satanic, devilish, and evil-hearted madness. And that's exactly what's coming if the Lord tarries his coming. That's what's coming. And you say, well, it'll never happen here. Okay, go ahead and convince yourself of that, but you've not convinced me. I'm telling you, folks, we better stand up for our country. We better stand up for our country and for our Constitution. Now, hold your place here. Let me show you a verse. Go over, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. All right, chapter 5. And if you will, look down to verse, go down to verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 5. And here John says, and we know. All right? We know. Now, how do we know what he's about to tell us? Well, we know it because it's already been told. The Lord Jesus told us. All right? God told us through the book of Genesis. I mean, it's already been told, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world, that's the unsaved world, we believe that God is real, he's personable, we can fellowship with him, all right? We know that we are of God. We know that. And we also know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. All right, now look at your Bible. And the whole world lieth in the arms of the wicked one. That's what John's saying. The whole world lies in the arms of the wicked one. You get, it's amazing. I don't know if any of you have ever done any kind of an effort to find out about that rap singer. What was his name? P. Diddy? P. Diddy? What was his name? Sean Puffy Combs. Was that his name? Sean Combs? Yeah, Sean Puffy Combs. You know, he's in jail right now. He's in jail right now. Has been for a couple of years. And he is in jail, and Most of the country has no idea why he's even in jail. You know, it's not been broadcasted. It's been held on the QT. It's been squashed. It's been sort of a shh, don't talk about that. And I want you to realize, folks, that when you get a bunch of people who are in the arms of the wicked one, all manner of evil comes out of people. And that's exactly why he's in jail, and others have fled the country so they won't be arrested and thrown in jail. And I hope, I don't have my hopes up, but I sure hope that these people have to give an account. Folks, when you see that there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of kids missing, don't be naive. Don't say, oh, well, they'll show up. No, they're not going to show up. They've been used and thrown away. Used and thrown away. And Hollywood is up to its eyeballs in all this wickedness. The whole world lies in the arms of the wicked one. So please don't be deceived and don't be fooled. This world of ours, this unsaved world of ours, lies in the embrace of Satan, of the devil, of the dragon, the serpent, the snake, the liar, the murderer, the thief. The whole world is in his arms. Folks, you just wait until the rapture of the church happens and we are taken out of this world to meet the Lord in the air. You just wait. We're not going to be here to see it, praise the Lord. But with us gone and with the Holy Spirit gone, Holy Spirit goes with us when we go. I've taught you before, God has a throne. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, so Jesus has a throne. And the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is God and as God the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit has a throne. That throne is the body of the believers. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds and calls us up to be with him, then we all disappear, go up to meet with him, and the Spirit of God that's within us goes with us. So what is going to hold back the corruption that is in this world? Nothing. Nothing. And that's when the devil himself, in the form of the Antichrist, is going to rise to power, and the whole world is going to be deceived by him. My friends, listen, this is not a game that God is playing with the devil. This is not a game that the devil is playing against God. No, Satan is real. So understand this, folks. This devil is the same devil whom the Lord Jesus described as the strong man armed. The strong man armed. And you see, I think we need to get rid of the notion of an abstract evil, because there is no such thing. No such thing. So what does that mean? Well, an abstract thing is an idea or a quality that exists in thought rather than as a physical, touchable object. And so I'm telling you, folks, evil is not an abstract idea. It's real. It's real. And Satan is a personal being, just as God is a personal God. And there are people that worship him. There are people who have sold their souls to the devil for fortune and fame. Yeah. And he blesses them. He blesses them, just like God blesses us. We pray and we serve and the Lord blesses. Well, I'm going to tell you, same way with the devil. Same way with the devil. There is testimony from some of these musicians, these rock and roll musicians, and some of these Hollywood starlets and harlots. They give testimony of they sold their souls to the devil. And they pray to the devil. And they worship the devil. Yeah. You say, wow, that's awful. Yeah, it is awful, isn't it? But it just goes to show you that this is real. This is a real struggle. And folks, the evil state of our world today stems from Adam's fall from sinless to sinful, and all the calamity that has stemmed from it is only increasing, and it's like a snowball going down the mountain, and it just continues to turn up and get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the evil world we live in. I can imagine that there's going to come a day when the Lord says, enough's enough. Enough's enough. How many children have to be abused by these perverts? Listen, folks, evil is behind the abortion thing. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. So the evil state of our world today, it all comes and stems from Adam's fall from sinless to sinful. And all the calamity that we are seeing in our world has come from Adam's fall. And it just continues on and on and on. Does that make sense to you? All right, I hope so. All right, next thing. Let's notice a little application to this. Look. Let's go back to Ephesians, and I want you to realize there they are coming after you, David. Now, Dave and I have been talking about every service, bar none. Every service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, bar none. You hear the ambulances going up and down the road and the police cars and the fire trucks. Huh? At least once. Sometimes two and three times a night. Yes, on Sunday nights especially. All right, so let's get back to verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, notice that the reason we are to take and use the shield of faith is so that we may be able to quench all the fiery darts that the enemy shoots at us. You see, we have to be prepared and ready when the devil attacks and assaults us. We cannot get caught unawares. We cannot get caught unawares. Several years ago, when I was a kid, I was in the Several, not seven. Clean years out. Several, many moons ago, when I was a kid, I think I was in the fifth grade, if I remember right, and it was Halloween time, and there was this guy in our community that we lived in a community about 500, probably about 500 homes altogether when it was all built, and there was a guy in there, and he was real big, and he used to pick on all of us little guys. He would pick on us all the time. I remember one time he grabbed one of my friends, Tom, and he lifted him up and hung him on a branch, and stuck his from the back, stuck his belt loop on this branch and just left him hanging there. Well, none of us were strong enough to go and lift him up, and he just walked away laughing. Well, all that kind of stuff that he did just kept mounting, and we kept saying, one of these days, one of these days. And so Halloween time came, and we decided this was the day. This was when we were going to get him. And so he was waiting when he got off the bus, because we had been talking about it. I guess he overheard us. And so when I got off the bus, he reached for me, but I ducked. I got out of his reach. And he said, I'm going to get you guys tonight. Well, it was on. It was on like Donkey Kong. Yes, sir. Let's go. Yeah. And so we went home, and I said, Mom, do we have any eggs? And she said, you're not going to take eggs and throw eggs at people tonight. And I said, I'm not throwing eggs at people. I said, I'm throwing eggs at, what's his name? I can't even think of his name now. I said, I'm not throwing eggs at people. I'm throwing eggs at so-and-so. She goes, no, no. Well, I used to mow grass and all that kind of stuff, so I had money. So I got on my bicycle, and I rode up to the store, and I got 2 dozen eggs before it got dark. And I came back to the house, and I put them outside in the under the bush. And so when it got dark, we all went, divvied up the eggs. There's about six or seven of us all together. And we took off looking for Tiny Tim. All right? That's what we called him, Tiny Tim. He didn't like to be called Tiny Tim, I can assure you that. But we went looking for him. And when we found him, we distributed 2 dozen eggs in his direction. And probably about 95% of the eggs hit the target. It's really hard to miss him. You know, really was hard to miss him. But we got him good. I mean, we got him real good. And man, oh man, oh man, did he get mad. He got mad. And so we were always on the defense. And you never knew where he was going to be. And so we ended up having to watch everywhere we went until he went to college. I mean, you never knew where he was going to show up. I never got off the bus without looking. Never. Making sure he wasn't there. We would go play basketball or softball, and I was always aware of his position, always, because I didn't trust him, and none of the rest of us did either, none of the other kids. So you don't want to be caught unawares, because the fiery darts are real. And the devil knows how to shoot them. He is a tremendous shot with his fiery darts. Now, there have been a lot of explanations through the centuries from men, especially from men of God. For example, let's take Martin Luther, who was the Reformationist who pulled out of Catholicism and started the Lutheran Church. All right, he needs to come back and do it again. But nonetheless, Luther was a man who stood against Catholicism. And after he realized and understood that salvation was not through the seven sacraments, it was not by man working his way to heaven, but salvation was by grace through faith. And he went to the sacred stairs in Rome at the Pope's hangout, and he got on his knees with his German Bible, and his German Bible said in the book of Romans and in chapter 5, his German Bible said this: therefore, making oneself justified, we have peace with God. So it was earn your way. He had his Catholic Bible, and his Catholic Bible did not say, therefore, being justified by faith, but it gave the implication that you have to earn your salvation, work it to make it happen. And so he said, as he took his German Bible and his Latin Bible and read them, and it said, therefore, being justified by faith. So he said, wait a minute, salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace. It's not me doing something to earn my way to heaven. It's what Jesus did for me on the cross and my acceptance of that gift. And there he was saved. And so he went back to his study, back home at his home, and he was writing his thesis that he was going to nail to the door, his 99-point thesis. And so while working on all of that, he said that he felt a real, get this now, a real presence in the room. He said that presence was so real, I felt like I could reach out and touch it. And it was then that he realized that it was the devil, the wicked one, present in his study. And Luther said he could not get away from that presence. It was so strong. And you know the story. He said that the devil became so real that he reached and grabbed his inkwell and hurled his inkwell at where he thought the devil was. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Your experience might not have been as real as was Luther's. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever sat down to read and study your Bible, and it seems like you cannot concentrate or focus on the task at hand. Now, isn't it strange? You can sit down and read the newspaper or read a novel and focus for hours upon hours. But when you go to read God's word, it's like every fiery dart in hell is coming at you. It's real, isn't it? How do you explain that? Well, the only explanation is that it is one of the fiery darts of the wicked. We can sit down and watch a television show for an hour, and then it'll bleed into another one and sit there for another hour, and that'll bleed into another one, and you sit there for three straight hours, but we can't sit in church more than 20 minutes? Huh? Oh, man, I got to tell you this. One more thing. Through the years, I mean, for a lot of years, ever since I've been I would say it started when I was in West Virginia. So it was in West Virginia, it was out in Illinois, and especially since coming here. But through the years, I have gone and preached in a multitude of Bible colleges. Now, most of them won't have me now, sad to say. But through the years, I've gone and preached at these Bible colleges all over the country. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's the worst. That's just absolutely a battle. From beginning to end, it's a battle. You say, what do you mean? Well, you got all these little know-it-all spiritual dwarfs. Who have their... already have their applications filled out in case there's a vacancy in the Godhead. They want to apply for it. And they sit and listen so that they can criticize everything you say, even how you say it. That's right. And here's what they do. Oh, they're slick now. These little squirts, they got it down. Here's what they do. They create an email where you cannot find their name or who they are, and then they send you a scathing email calling you everything in the book. I mean, some of them are threatening. But you'll never find out who did it. And I told one fellow down at Pensacola a couple years ago, I told one fellow in leadership. And he said, do you have that? And I said, yeah. I reached in my pocket, pulled my cell phone out, and I said, right there. Oh, he was angry. He said, can I borrow this? I said, yeah, you can. Yeah. I said, what are you going to do? Find out who sent this. I said, no, you're not. No, you won't. You'll never find out who this came from. He came back about, I don't know, probably 3 hours later, and he said, well, here's your phone back. You were right. Said, I took this to our best people. Nothing. Where do they get the knowledge to do something like that? Huh? Who helps these people? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah. You see, there's a God-given wisdom, and there's a what James calls a, and John call a worldly wisdom. Yeah. Yep. So they're real, folks. They're real. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you'll give us understanding of what we have heard here this evening. I know this is heavy stuff, and I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's the truth of your word, and so I pray that you will bless it to our hearts and help us to hide your word in our hearts so we won't sin against you. And Lord, it's awful easy to just brush it off and say, I vote we accept this information. But Father, it must be more than that. We need to know the enemy if we're going to be successful in quenching all the fiery darts. So I pray that you will give us understanding and strengthen us in the faith. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.